In my pet name is actually Brian. So it's Brian and Bright. He's younger to me. So we prayerfully dared to travel, and it was not that easy. But somehow we could reach over here in States, and now he's admitted. And at least three procedures has already went through again after coming over here. 2 days back, he got his skin grafting, and now things seems to be a bit positive. Well, I don't want to say much in terms of introduction, because my time is precious and I want to straight away jump into the Word of God. Brother Justin was asking me which song you would prefer before taking the message, and I said, get some money. And I was noticing as you were singing, we are actually making a request to the Lord that lead me to Calvary, lest I not forget Gethsemane, thine agony, and thy love for me. Keeping that in mind, let's turn to John chapter 18. John chapter 18, and it's good to read at least verse 1 to 9, but I want to just read one verse, and that is from verse 4. John chapter 18, verse 4. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, whom are you seeking? Knowing all things that would come upon him. You see, man has always been curious to know the future. And we love to know the future, but keeping John 18 in mind, what do you think? Knowing all that would come upon us or that would happen, is it a good thing or is it a bad thing? I have one problem, you know, I cannot preach alone. I have to, involve you also into the message. I enjoy that. And some people say that your messages are conversation and Bible studies. So, my simple question is this. Is it a good thing to know the future the way the Lord knew what would come upon him? Someone was saying, even after washing our hands, thousands and millions of bacteria are still having that party, and even when we have our food. Right under our nose, there are bacteria which are thriving. We don't know, and if we know, I think, what a horrible that would be to know that these things are happening on us. You see, when my brother was crossing the road, just before that, we, at least 12 of our family members had food in a restaurant. And we were standing there, in front of us he crossed, in front of us he was hit by the truck. Just think, if we knew that would happen, would we be able to have that food? Can you see that? I want to give you one more example and move forward. I am 100% sure all the sisters who are working, who have been working in the kitchen and preparing and taking care of the family, have experienced cut by a knife. Can I say that? Is there anybody who had never got a cut with a knife? Now, when it happens, you don't make it a big deal, right? You just say, well, it happens. It's okay. But the same sister, when a nurse comes to her to give her an injection, what do you say? Which one is more painful, the cut by the knife or just an injection? Which one is more painful? The cut by the knife. But we are afraid of the injection more than the knife. Why? Because when the injection comes, we know it's coming. That knowledge makes us anxious, right? And especially these nurses, they have a, I don't know, knowingly they do or knowing, in front of us they will do it like this. You know? And then our eyes will bulge and then they say, breathe normal. It doesn't happen like that. No, the Lord knew all that would come upon him. What all he knew, the minimum things which we got as record itself is enough for a person to really sweat as if blood was coming through his body. the whips, the challenges, the mocking, the slap, the spit, the pain of the whip one after the other, and what all, the dragging, the cross, the crucifixion, the nailing, the thirst, the dislocation. How many of you have gone through dislocation? 1, 2, 3, 4. Most of them have gone only half of the dislocation. They don't go full because they cannot raise their hand properly. Yeah. Both of my hands have been dislocated a couple of times. I was a sportsman, so, you know, it just happens with us all the time. What I wanted to say is that the Lord knew all that would come upon him. And in that, my sin and its burden, its heaviness was upon him. I cannot carry my own sin. It lays me, it presses me down, and the sin of the world was upon him. The separation by God, the thirst, all of it. That is the point over here. Let's not forget his agony. Let's not forget Gethsemane. Now, about that agony, in Mark chapter 14, the Lord makes a statement. Just have a look on that. Mark chapter 14, verse 34. Oh, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Is it an exaggerated statement or a true statement? What's your opinion? My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Death. I am literally or figuratively going to die, or I just feel that I'm going to die, or is he really going to die? How true is his statement? It is the Lord, 100% true is his statement. He was going to die. Yes, I believe it. I'm sure you may have a little problem to agree with me that I believe if the Lord God would not do anything about his son there in the garden, he may die there. That's what I believe. And the reason I believe that is not only because the Lord said like that, but his sweat came as if it was big drops of blood. Not only because of that I believe that, but an angel came to strengthen him. An angel came to strengthen him. Do you think, you know, we were remembering the fact that the Lord came in flesh. The Lord came as a normal yet full man. He was fully man and fully God. Now, that man, Jesus Christ, who came in the form of a bond servant, is it right to have special privileges because he's the Son of God? Or has he have to live like me and you and face all the problems of weather and thirst and tiredness and poverty and, you know, all kind of situation, hunger? What do you think? Is it right for him to have special privileges as a Son of God? See, he came in the form of a bond servant. Now, having an angel to minister for him, if that was the case, it would be easy for us also, right? Oh, I'm going to face a problem, let an angel come and minister me, and then I'm strengthened and read. Is it like that? Now, here, there is something we need to understand. That's why I'm emphasizing on that. If the angel would not strengthen him, his words are going to come true, even unto death. That's the point. It was necessary, it was right to give that assistance because God had a purpose through him. He need to be alive. He need to go. He need to, you know, be strengthened. He had to carry the cross. He has to carry the sin of the whole world. He has to die on the cross. He needed that strength and he was strengthened. Was there any other moment where the Lord was strengthened by an angel? Any other event? In the wilderness. Now again, the same question should be raised there. Why an angel was given for him to be strengthened or to be ministered in the wilderness? See, that's what we need to understand. How many days he fasted? 40 days. With water or without water? Without water. We need to be careful. It's not in an AC room, but he was in the wilderness. 40 days. You know, normally Sunday morning, I prefer to come empty stomach. So Brother Justin was saying, Brother, what about your sugar level? One meal, one breakfast, your sugar level can go down. 40 days. What do you think? You think after 40 days of fasting, he just got up and just left the place and went to the village and started ministering. And that also he was tempted by Satan himself. He was taken to the mountain, then to the temple, and all these places he moved, and he was, I believe, nigh unto death. That's my personal faith. That's why an angel was given. That's why I'm trying to connect it. An angel was given to him, or angels came to minister him, because I believe he should be strengthened enough to reach the village at least. He was in the wilderness for 40 days. Are you getting the point? Where the Lord says that his agony and his sorrow was such. Now he knew all that would come to, come upon him. Do you remember any other person who was strengthened by an angel? Any other normal human being? Pardon? Elijah, he was given food. There, more than strengthening him, he was encouraged. Of course, he was strengthened because he ran after that 40 days and 40 nights. See, I was a sportsman. I always loved that kind of food, you know, which you have once and you can run for 40 days. Is there any other person who was strengthened the way the Lord was strengthened? Because he was trembling, he was weak, and he could not even stand, and he could not take the vision and the sorrow of the vision. I've given you enough clue, I think. We went Daniel, who says, because of the vision, because of the vision, sorrow has filled my heart and I have no strength. You see, the Lord knew all that would come upon him. The knowledge of the future, the knowledge of what is going to happen immediately has filled his heart with sorrow and he has lost his strength. And Daniel is giving us a clue. How is it? And the angel, you will not believe how many times the angel had to strengthen Daniel, you know. Please have a look on Daniel chapter 10, please. How many times, it is surprising to see that Daniel was strengthened again and again and again and again. And at last Daniel says, oh, thou hast strengthened me. Daniel chapter 10, verse 10. Suddenly, a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. That is the first strengthening. Then in verse 11, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright. For I have now been sent to you. While you were speaking this word to me, I stood, but how? Trembling. So two times he has been strengthened over there. And then in verse 16, and suddenly one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips, then I opened my mouth. Even to open his mouth, he was needed that strength. And do you know, in that point, what did he say? My Lord, because of the vision, now listen to this, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me and I have retained no strength. I believe 99% of we believers over here, we have read and understood that vision which Daniel has seen. Even if not fully, we have understood something of that vision. Have we gone through the same experience Daniel went, that, oh Lord, my soul is full of sorrow because of this vision, and I have retained no strength? Was this our experience? What I just wanted to say from that point is, probably we have understood very little when we compare to what Daniel has understood, the way we should understand. You see, Daniel is saying, because of the same vision and sorrow, vision which we have read and studied and probably, meditated for months together, there was the same vision on the same one day. He is saying, my Lord, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me. I have retained no strength. So deep, so serious, so dangerous that vision was for Daniel, while such things are not happening to me and you. Now, why I connected with this sorrow and the Lord's sorrow is that this is about the vision which is going to happen tomorrow or in the future. Same way the Lord is going to face his problems just now. And you can see the connection of knowing things of the future and how it can affect you. And why Daniel was affected, probably it was because its own people who is going to suffer. Probably because the beast and the animals in the vision were some of those kings with whom he was serving. He was actually serving these beasts. And he knows how these beasts or these kings could be. And he also saw the vision of a unique animal which would come in the future and which would trample Israel. And he wanted to know about that animal in particular. He's saying, what is that beast, that dragon? I want to know. Just want to read one more verse from the same portion. Verse 18 and verse 19. Then again, one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me. Now, how many times he's been strengthened? One more time. Verse 19. And he said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Now look at that statement. Be strong. Yes, be strong. How many times? At least 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times he was strengthened. And then at last he says, so when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. How was Daniel strengthened? Be strong. Yes, be strong. A word from the Lord. Be strong. Does it mean the vision is cancelled? Does it mean the vision has been solved? There is no more problem? No, problem and all kind of issues are still there. But the Lord has given you a word. Be strong. Many of you who are listening to me tonight, this morning, we have our own problems, right? My brother's leg was about to be amputated. Just escaped. Even now, we have the risk. How can a person, a young person like him, 47 probably, can be at peace in this situation? I think I should pray, he should pray this simple prayer. Oh Lord, give me one word. Please say to me that one word. Be strong. I am with you. Be at peace. The problem, the pain, the challenges, the job, the needs, the anxiety, all of that is there. But brother, oh Lord, one word. I am with you. Be at peace. Be strong. When I understood this verse, that one word which would come out of the Lord, which I would receive for myself, how great, how nourishing, how strengthening that one word would be. Be strong. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ said to Satan while he was tempted, man not only lives by bread alone, but by every word which comes out of his mouth. Praise be to God. I was reminded the centurion who sent his servants to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, oh Lord, I am not worthy to call you to my home, and I think that I can come to you, but say a word. Those who are in need, I am sure you will catch hold of this one message and say, oh Lord, if you are with me, I have all my doubts and problems and anxiety, but if you are with me. I think yesterday I was reading a book, and there it was written that it's very easy to meditate. And then he said, have you been anxious for anything? Of course, we all have been anxious. And what is anxiety? Anxiety is thinking over and over and over about one thing, right? You are not ready to leave it. Just thinking about it again and again and again. And then the writer is saying, now you know how to meditate. Leave that which is worrying you, but catch the word of God and do the same thing. Don't leave the word. You have your pain, but the Lord has said, be strong. You have your problem, but the Lord has said, be strong. The waves are coming, but the Lord has said to Peter, walk. The Lord has said, I am with you till the end of the world. Catch on to that word. It was always difficult for me to understand. How can man live without bread and one word from the word? Now I can understand that. And the angel strengthened the Lord, because he knew all that would come upon him. The vision, the understanding, the knowledge filled his heart, and he lost all his strength, and the angel strengthened him, and he prayed 3 times. Let me ask you a simple question. Out of these 3 times, which time angel came and strengthened him? The first time, the second time, or the third time? Which time? Third time? Second time? Or the first time? No? I've asked this question many times, in many places. And when we ask that, all are in doubt. Otherwise, we all know. Actually, it was the second time when the angel strengthened him. And with that strength, he prayed one more time. And there it's written, he prayed even more earnestly. There we get a very important message. One, when you are strengthened, what's the next thing you should do? Pray one more time. Normally, that's not our way. What's our way? Oh Lord, strengthen me. Oh Lord, strengthen me. Even today, one brother prayed. I noticed he said, oh Lord, strengthen me. And then when the Lord strengthens us, what we do? We wake up, we get up, we move. No, that's not what the Lord said. The Lord did. He prayed one more time. He prayed more earnestly. So there are 2 things we need to learn. One, a word receiving from the Lord, being strengthened, and then praying once more. And every time he prayed, he said to his disciples also, wake up and pray. Watch and pray. There again, you need to understand something else. You see, when the Lord was saying this to the disciples, watch and pray, look at the situation. They just had their Passover lamb, right? They are having a very wonderful time with the Lord in the upper room. And now they are full, they are in the garden. And this is a garden where the Lord often used to visit and rest and sleep. The weather was cold. Can I say that? The weather was cold? Was it warm or cold? It was cold. How can we say that? Yes, Peter was warming himself. So it was a cold weather. Full, cold, then the Lord, only 3 of them, beautiful garden, and it's night. The ministry is over. No public. Now it's the time to sleep. And how many times we have slept in the same garden? But why the Lord is saying, watch and pray. I have to now, you know, climb above my logic to understand what the Lord is saying. The Lord said once, I didn't understand, that's fine. But he said twice. He waked me up and now he's saying watch and pray. There is something serious. Now here what we need to understand is that how many times in our own life the Spirit has told watch and pray, wake up and pray, and we have felt what to pray, everything is okay, oh Lord help me, bless me, I'm going to sleep. Have you experienced that leading of the Spirit to pray while you really don't know what to pray for? Because everything is peaceful. But I want you to believe the Lord. What's the Lord seeing? The Lord is seeing thousands coming to catch him. And the disciples are not going to be spared if the Lord would not do something. And in these thousands, evil spirits are there because the Lord himself is saying the hour of darkness. Gethsemane is going to be the hour of darkness. And you need to know one very special thing. Satan himself is coming in this group. Can I say that? In Gethsemane, when the mob was coming along with Judas, was Satan coming? Yes or no? Yes, he was in Judas. Do you know anybody else in whom Satan have entered? Not evil spirits. Anybody in whom Satan has entered? Peter? Do you really believe that Peter was possessed by Satan? Or just the Lord rebuked him, calling him Satan? Because he was trying to stop what the Lord was trying, like an adversary. So he was called as Satan, or was he possessed by Satan? I think we should be careful. Peter was not possessed. Is there anybody in whom Satan entered? The whole Bible. Nobody. Yes, in one he will enter. Now you know who is it. Who is it? The Antichrist. From there we can understand one more lesson. Satan is not a small fallen angel who would enter in everybody, you see. He entered in Judas because Judas was the one or through whom he can directly counter Jesus Christ, directly go to him, and no evil spirit would dare to do that. The moment they see even the shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ, these evil spirits get panic and they start shouting and they will do all kind of gimmicks. But here we see Satan going through Judas and kissing the Lord, betraying him. He is so high-ranking, powerful angel who dare to do such a thing. And that's why in Antichrist he is going to that level, because Antichrist by name itself is going to oppose Christ, right? Can you see that? So all the possession which we know in the Bible is always by the evil spirits, never by Satan. But we know the condition of men who are possessed by the evil spirits. What would be the condition of Judas who was possessed by Satan himself? Can you see that? Okay, now another simple question. Have anybody seen Satan? Human beings? Anybody? Anybody who saw Satan? Don't say Adam and Eve saw Satan, because he came in the form of a serpent. Yeah, I mean human being. I mean, yeah, of course. Thank you. The Lord did, of course. Why I am saying that is that when the Lord is saying to the disciples, watch and pray, what the Lord is seeing is that how can these people face thousands of evil spirits and thousands of men and Satan himself with this strength? Watch and pray, you are going to face Satan today. The hour of darkness is going to come. And this evil spirit, Satan, is going to kiss me tonight. How much you need to pray? If Peter knew or got some idea of what's going to come into that garden, how he would pray, if he knows.
Right?
If he knows. You see, we have to believe what the word of God says. Our battle, our war is not against flesh and blood, but our war is against power of darkness. How do you want to pray? When the Lord says, when the Spirit says in your heart, pray, you have to believe there is a need of prayer now. I was touched when brother was saying that the Lord said to the daughters of Jerusalem, pray for your children. What do you think? Our children, are they safe even when they are with us? You know, we have another tendency. If children are with us, we will pray, of course. But if they go away from us, we pray for them more. Why? Because when they are with us, we can take care. When they are away from us, only the Lord can take care. Is it a correct thinking? My brother had food with me. My mother, all my siblings or my cousins and their children, all of them were there. In front of us, he crossed the road and he was hit by the truck. Can we say, my brother is with me and I can take care. And when he's in America, I will pray more for him. Our children, when they take their mobile into their hand, are they really safe? The filth, the evil spirits which can come through this thing, which can influence our children, which can make them addicted, which has already made them addicted. Can you see the spiritual future of our children? Marred by the stuff which is within. I was saying to a small child as he woke up and said, did you see any dream? He said, no, I don't see any good dreams. I said, maybe because you are looking at very, you know, all kind of stuff in the net and all playing games and things like that. If you pray and read the Bible and listen to a spiritual story and sleep, maybe you will see, you know, good dreams. And he said, I look at bad stuff and then I look at good stuff and sleep. I think when the Lord said, pray for your children to the daughters of Jerusalem, even they were confused because they are looking at the Lord carrying that log on his body, having all the stripes on his body, blood was oozing out, he was not even able to stand, and he is saying, you pray for your children. They are confused because my children is sleeping, he had his milk and he is happy over there, or he's gone to the school or something like that, and I am okay over here. Why should I pray for me? I should pray for you. Dear brethren, I think I should cry when I think about our children. I'm struggling to see anything hopeful in the coming generation. I've keenly tried to understand the parental understanding, and they said, and they are saying, it was not very wise to come into such a culture. And if you think India is any better, it's no more. Things have gone out of our hands. How many of you want to pray, believing what the Lord is saying? Pray for yourself and pray for your children. You have to believe the spiritual realm and its danger. You have to believe the spiritual future and its danger. You have to see the war with the power of darkness. Otherwise, you will not be able to pray. You will not be able to wake up in prayer. You know, there is a kind of cold prayer and there is a wake up prayer. Am I making sense? My heart is broken when I see the next generation and the way things are moving and the way parents are cool. The Lord is restless when they see children. The disciples sleeping because he knows the hour of darkness is not going to be easy. And the Lord really have to kind of encroach or pounce upon these people who are going to come upon him or going to arrest him, because the scene over there is going to be really serious. And I have made this statement a couple of times, thousands are going to arrest him. Did 1,000 came to arrest the Lord? Do you think so? How many might have come to arrest the Lord? How much you will give me? Let me see how liberal are Americans. Yeah. Sorry, excuse me. 50? 100? Large multitude. If I say multitude, how many will give me? Still thinking, huh? If I say great multitude, how many will give me? We'll read one verse. Matthew chapter 26, verse 47. Any of you, if you can help me, it would be wonderful. Otherwise, I can read, no issues. Matthew 26, 47. And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas and one of the 12 with a great multitude. How many will give me? Now, that's what you need to understand. When a mob comes, you know mob attitude? You know? Even beggars, if they are like 100 in front of us, their attitude will change. They will no more behave like beggars. Do you know that? Mob attitude means it's another spirit altogether. Now they are coming to arrest Jesus Christ, and these disciples are already trembling when they saw so many people with lanterns and swords and authority and soldiers and Judas and all those things, and of course Satan and evil spirit and all those things were there over there. So what I wanted to say is that these disciples were not at all safe. Not at all safe. And you know what the Lord did? He went forward. Instead of they asking something first, he took the first step. He made the first statement. He asked them, whom are you seeking? They were only answering him. He was leading. He was the leader. He was the captain. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked them and they only answered. And they answered and said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am he. And what was next? All of them fell down. What was the purpose? My time is up. I have to stop here. So I just want to say this one thing and finish it off. What was the purpose? The purpose was they fell down. And again, the Lord is asking the same question. When the Lord asked them first time, whom are you seeking? They might have answered very arrogantly. How they might have answered? Oh, we have thousands of people over here. Whom are you to ask us? Anyway, we have come to Jesus of Nazareth. You know, very arrogantly they might have answered. But when they fell down at that word, I am he, and again he's asking the same question. If you notice John chapter 18, again he asked the same question. Again the same answer is given. And again the same response was given by the Lord. So naturally what they should expect. Again the Lord is asking, whom are you seeking? Again they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And again he's saying, I am he. So what should they expect now? Anything can happen. So I have a question here. First time when they answered arrogantly. Second time when they answered, how they might have answered? After the fall. Because now anything can happen. They mellowed down. They were pious. They were afraid. So there the Lord gives them a condition of arrest. You are going to arrest me. You are thousands of people. I am alone. But I am giving you my condition. My condition is this. If you are seeking me, let these go their way. Lest I not forget Gethsemane. Let I not forget thy agony. And then what? Lest I forget thy love for me. In that garden, I could see the love of the Lord. The one who was facing Satan and this mob and sinners in the hour of darkness. In that weakness, the Lord was thinking about his disciples. Let they go their way. They were standing behind the Lord. Lord is saying, if you are seeking me, let them go. That's why he performed that miracle and they all fell down. That's why he asked that question and that's why he gave them the condition. And that's how the prophecy was fulfilled. Whom you have given me, I have lost None. To the elders in this assembly, let this one statement be in your heart. The Lord has given you a lot of young people. Let this be your prayer. Oh Father, O Lord Jesus Christ, out of them I may lose none. Let this be your prayer. The next generation, if you will take this responsibility truly into your heart, you will break in tears and be on your knees, because nothing is in our control. Our next generation, how they will escape from the philosophy, the sin, the culture of today's world. The influence of sin, the filth and the scar which these internet can really, put on in the hearts of our children. If you want to make something true with this statement, that the Lord has given some sheep into your hand and you are the shepherd who have to give an account to the great shepherd, how much you should pray about it, how much the parents should be afraid about their children. When a child is born, we say an innocent soul has come, but I think you should look it on the other way. A potential sinner has born who can truly go away from God. Oh Lord, I want to bring this child and make sure that this child becomes yours and yours alone. And for this, I commit my life as a father and as a mother. And I take thy word seriously. When you say pray, I would cry even if I could see nothing dangerous, because they, ourselves and our children are facing the power of darkness. I wish I could go on and on. At least I need 3 to 4 hours minimum for John 18, because Gethsemane is not just simply a garden. It is truly complicated. It was full of these spirits, and their movements were very calculated. And even the Lord, when he said, "Whom are you seeking?" he was protecting. Let's not forget Gethsemane. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you very much for thy Son, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. O Lord, who can understand these things, the depth, the danger, the gravity of Gethsemane? You understood. You knew it all. So you prayed. Disciples understood nothing, so they slept. And that's what exactly we are doing. We are sleeping. Lord, very carefully we want to make a request. Give us tears. Give us tears for our children. Give us tears for ourselves. That thou being holy, we too may be holy. Be holy, because I am holy. Oh, Father, you have given me 2 kids. You have given me 5 kids. You have given me a congregation. You have given me souls whom you have redeemed. Help me to be a shepherd of the kind you want. Like about David, you said, "I have found a man who is after God's own heart." Oh Father, we pray for ourselves and for this generation, that none may be lost. We love you, Lord, for in the Garden of Gethsemane, your concern were not about your own safety, but it was about your disciples. And you were weak in that garden, and how much more now, being in glory, you would protect us. We truly love thee, and this morning fall prostrate in thy presence. and worship Thee and praise Thee and rejoice in Thee. Thank You, Lord, for writing our names in the book of life. We praise You and we rejoice at You. Asking this prayer and submitting this thanksgiving in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.